best place for below average stars.
Hello there, and welcome to The Star Wars Show, the best place for below average Star Wars. I am the Geordie Jedi Pete.
And I am Jason Hondo Ling.
And we are back with a brand new episode of Star Wars, where we'll be deep diving the new trailer for Star Wars Tales of the Empire, the new animated short series coming to Disney Plus on May the 4th. And to do that, we have a very special guest. He's getting addicted to talking about Star Wars, especially with my lovely Geordie accent, I suppose. And also, you know, we've got the Dorset man, Jason, on as well. But I'm sure that Chris from Dystopian Simulation Radio will love both the accents. Chris, how are you doing?
I am great, Peter. Thank you very much for having me back. Obviously, last time we talked about Star Wars Outlaws, the trailer for that in great detail. And I'm excited to get stuck into this trailer for Tales of the Empire today.
It is indeed. And for those who don't know, Star Wars Tales of the Empire is an upcoming 6-part animated anthology series. It's a sequel to the previous anthology series, Star Wars Tales of the Jedi. In this series, Tales of the Empire will be focusing on characters of Barriss Offee and Morgan Elsbeth. It was obviously first announced at Star Wars Celebration Europe 2023 that me and Jason were both at. At the time, obviously, it was billed as the second season of Tales of the Jedi, which is what it was until the trailer dropped. And it was formally announced as Tales of the Empire with the release of the trailer on April 4th, 2024. And again, with the release date of May the 4th this year, when all 6 episodes will drop at once. I think it's just diving into sort of... I want to know your thoughts, Chris, you know, as sort of someone who, I don't want to speak too much about Star Wars, you know, Tales of the Jedi came out, so I would love to know your thoughts initially on that series and whether you enjoyed it, and then what were your thoughts when sort of we got Tales of the Jedi 2 and it's actually Tales of the Empire?
Yeah, of course. As you know, I'm not as quick necessarily on all of the animated projects as you guys are, but I'd heard that Tales of the Jedi was coming. It was a nice little, you know, short thing. And I thought, yeah, you know, sure, I'll give it a go. I was a bit bereft of Star Wars content at the time, and I thought we'll go on. So I loaded them up on the Disney Plus app, and I thought I'd give them a go. And most of my experience watching it was when the Metro was delayed and I had to get the bus home, and it took absolutely forever. And I binged most of them back to back as a result. But I absolutely loved the series of Tales of a Jedi. I thought it was a really nice way of linking together a lot of things that we've been told and maybe we've assumed, but sort of, you know, explicitly showing like the relationship between Count Dooku and Qui-Gon Jinn. It was just, obviously we heard about that in Attack of the Clones, but it was just great to see it on screen. And obviously there's a load of Ahsoka stuff, which was, you know, really kind of jumped across her timeline as well. And there was lots of nice other little beats. And especially the nicest bit, I thought, tying a lovely little loose end up, was where the hell Yaddle went after appearing in episode 1 and then never again. So I really enjoyed it, and I was looking forward to more of them. I thought they were really, really well done. I was expecting a Tales of the Jedi 2. And then when that kind of flipped into Tales of the Empire, my first reaction was, yes, this is what I want. So I'm excited. I've got a lot of faith in this series.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love, I know it's called Tales of the Empire, and it's set during this time of like the Empire running riot, and you know, the people who we're going to see are going to be potentially working for the Empire in this series. But you know, Barriss Offee was very much a Jedi Padawan, and you know, speaking of Jedi and the Force, you know, Morgan Elsbeth is very much a sort of a Dathomirian witch. Who can use magic. So, you know, we are tying into the Force still quite heavily. And I'm really, really excited. Again, just for clarity, so, you know, Tales of the Jedi was short stories featuring Jedi from the prequel era. So it was 6 episodes split into 2 paths. The first following Ahsoka Tano across various points in her life, from sort of being a baby to being taken by the Jedi to being Anakin Skywalker's Padawan, to go to Padme's funeral and, you know, being part of the rebellion. All that was sort of tied in, you know, being hunted by Inquisitors. And the other depicting a young Count Dooku before he's fought the dark side of the Force. You know, again, we saw him sort of on missions with Qui-Gon Jinn as apprentice. We saw him later on missions with Mace Windu and how they worked together and how they were friends and how they bonded and things like that. And then obviously we also see, you know, Sidious in the background pulling on Dooku's misconceptions of the Force and the Jedi and preying on them. And we also obviously see Yaddle and, you know, the tragic reason of where Yaddle is come Attack of the Clones and why we never saw another Yoda until Grogu, I suppose you could say, you know, in The Mandalorian. What was your thoughts, Jason, originally, like when you first saw Tales of the Jedi, and then again, just like, obviously from watching Tales of the Jedi and enjoying that, just sort of knowing that we were getting the Tales of the Jedi Season 2 at Celebration, and then us actually getting the bombshell drop that's the Tales of the Empire when the trailer dropped. Just talk us through your thought process through all that, please.
Yeah, well, obviously, as you know, from all of our previous discussions, I'm a big fan of all of the animated stuff. These little shorts for me were a lot of fun because obviously, Ahsoka is one of my favourite characters. So seeing her beginning and then seeing her progression in a different way to what we'd seen in the Clone Wars and Rebels was really enjoyable. And also the story of Count Dooku, obviously, it's something that's been alluded to throughout the films and the Clone Wars, that obviously he had a past as a Jedi. So seeing this, his interactions and sort of understanding how he ended up going from a Jedi to working with Darth Sidious was what I thought was a clever way of bringing the fans, you know, something a little bit different. Doing it in the shorts way that they did, I thought was really good. It just gave us a look that we hadn't into things that had probably been discussed but never actually put on the screen. So I was really pleased with this. And then obviously when they said they were doing Tales of the Empire and the trailer dropped the other day, it was like, yeah, I'm looking forward to this series. This is going to take us into characters. And again, Morgan Elsbeth has actually become quite a character that I've grown to sort of like quite a lot. So I'd like to see more of her backstory to how she got to where she is, which I'm hoping these shorts will fill a bit of that in. So all in all, anything animated will keep me quiet.
It will indeed, especially when it looks as good as this does. Obviously, you know, it is from Lucasfilm Animation, you know, the creators of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Bad Batch, and it is very much in that Clone Wars animated style. And we get that feel of Clone Wars because obviously Kevin Kiner does the music, now joined by his son and his daughter who also do the music with him for season two. So, you know, we get that authentic Clone Wars feel. I think we just need to take our hats off. Yeah, I know, you know, Disney Plus, and there's a lot of talks about the price of Disney Plus going and where does streaming go next. But I think we have to thank Disney Plus because without there being sort of the Disney streaming network there, I don't think series like this would get made because I don't know where else it would go, if that makes sense. Especially with Bob Iger now moving sort of live action to the big screen is what he wants to do. It seems like, you know, I think animation is going to be a big part of Disney Plus's growth going forward. So, you know, I think we're going to count ourselves lucky that that's there and that it allows us to get, you know, shows like this and even shows like the, you know, the anime series Star Wars Visions as well, if you think about that. But I think let's just dive into sort of this trailer, I suppose. Let's just go to you first, Chris. Obviously, you know, obviously the trailer's quite gorgeous looking. It's quite deep, very emotional. As they say, Star Wars is tragedy. As the Sky Talkers podcast like to say, and they're very much right when they say that. And that feeling's very much through this trailer, so I thought anyway. So just talk us through the feels and the ebbs and flows that you got when watching this.
Sure. I mean, it's very much a feeling of loss, I think, throughout the trailer. You know, Morgan Elsbeth seems like a broken woman after the attack on her home planet that we see her, you know, falling to her knees at the beginning of the trailer and more or less then falling into the arms of the Empire and Grand Admiral Thrawn afterwards. It's going to be really interesting to see their relationship. As you mentioned before, Jason, you know, she's become a really important character. First introduced us in the Mandalorian season 2, and then we got a whole load of her in Ahsoka, but she was just a super interesting character. I think the kind of revelation that she was a Dathomirian witch adds a whole lot of extra character to her character, and finding out about her backstory, because we didn't really get that much of it in The Mandalorian. It was just that she was bad, and for some reason, she was quite good at fighting. But we're going to find out a lot more about her. And obviously, Barriss Offee, we can see what's happening with her throughout the trailer and kind of losing who she was and then gaining a new persona and gaining everything with the things that, you know, the Grand Inquisitor is training her up in. And then ultimately when we see the big lad himself, Darth Vader, come in at the end of the trailer, who's introduced as her new master. So it seems to be a lot of, you know, hatred. I mean, it even literally flashes up on screen, you know, some of these key words like anger. We see a lot of anger and hate. And as we all know, they lead to the dark side.
They do indeed. The suffering on the dark side. I think for me, one of the things I loved is obviously, you know, I think everything you said there is 100% right. You know, I think, you know, take Morgan Elsbeth, we see her here dueling with sort of, you know, curved blades, Dathomiri blades that are very much powered up by magic, similar to the sword that she gets in the Ahsoka series. So that was really good to see. You know, we see sort of the decimation of our planet, Dathomir. We also see Grievous, General Grievous there, really unleashing hell. It looks like they come face to face, which is going to be very interesting, and it sort of adds to why maybe, you know, in Ahsoka, you know, when the three sisters give Morgan Elsbeth sort of the magic sword and tell her to, you know, face down these Jedi while we escape, you know, she does it out of blind faith to them, you know, I think, but also confidently, because we're going to learn here that she's just face off against very good swordsmen before. You know, you see a lot of things about General Grievous, but he is very dangerous wielding those lightsabers. I like the time jumps we got, especially if you take the Morgan Elsbeth storyline. You know, we saw her on Dathomir, you know, during the Clone Wars. We've seen her after talking to Thrawn, wanting to join the Empire. Thrawn's very much in normal Imperial uniform. It's not white, it's a darker color, so he's obviously not that high up the ranks yet, possibly a captain, maybe. I'm sure somebody will recognize his insignia and tell us exactly what rank he is. You know, we see her on the planet we find her in The Mandalorian season 2, and it looks like we see either Resistance or New Republic people talking to her. So that'll be set before The Mandalorian in the timeline, but while she's on that planet, which is really cool. So I don't know what your thoughts were, Jason, on Morgan Elsbeth and how she's presented in the trailer and sort of in the different timeline moments we see her in.
Yeah, seeing this trailer, obviously it's going to take us, by the looks of it, one, to see obviously the destruction of Dathomir, which is something that I think would be really cool. Seeing her, obviously that was one question I had when I realised that she was a witch from Dathomir, is, you know, how did she survive and this? So it's going to be interesting to see that part of her story. And then obviously, by the looks of it, we're also then going to see how she ended up to be on the planet that we find her in The Mandalorian. So I'm quite interested to see that side of it and see her progression. Obviously, the fact that Thrawn's involved is that's going to give us maybe a few answers as to her relationship with him, which I just think it's going to fill in a few gaps. It will really bring something to the series. the character herself, I think partly what's grown with her is also the interaction Diane Lee in Asada, I think I've got that right, has been doing the convention circuit, and she's becoming a really popular person. And I think the character could well hang around for a while now because of the way that she's interacting with the fans, which is really cool. In a similar way to how Emily Swallow has interacted with the fans from The Mandalorian. And I think this is what, you know, now I think then Disney giving some of these smaller characters a bit more coverage sort of gives the fans that little bit more, but it also provides a bigger story to the whole of the Star Wars galaxy.
It certainly does, and I'm glad you've all thrown up. So, you know, we're finally going to see Thrawn in this Clone Wars animation set, and he looks absolutely fantastic in this trailer. Obviously, we've seen him in live action, and we've seen him in the Star Wars Rebels animation style, which is slightly different. Well, more than slightly different, it's a very different aesthetic, I would say, to the Clone Wars. So we're now going to see him in this aesthetic, and, you know, she obviously looks like she comes and asks Thrawn to work for him, which is very interesting. And then also, you know, when we see her... Yeah, and, you know, Thrawn's going to end up, as we know in Star Wars Rebels, you know, getting sort of sent to the other side of the unknown galaxy. And, you know, it's going to be about how does she cope with that in the beginning? Like, before the witches start communicating her, you know, if she loses her leader and the man who sort of gives her power in the galaxy, how does that affect her? I think it'll be very, very interesting. And I love the fact that we see her, you know, she's on in that village, as we see in Mandalorian Season 2. And she greets those people and they're talking about peace. And like I said, I spotted on their uniforms, it was definitely Think Resistance badges, a New Republic like badges, I think. So very, very cool. Going from that, obviously we have the story of Barriss Offee, you know, who was a Jedi who, you know, I wouldn't say turns against the Jedi and turned to the dark side, but she was obviously upset about what the Jedi were doing and how they were doing it. She did have a crazy moment and sort of, you know, attack the Jedi Temple, I believe, in the Republic, was arrested. And, you know, she's obviously in custody when the Jedi fall. And then I imagine we're probably going to see the Empire creeping into her head saying, you know, you're in jail, but if you come out and help us hunt the rest of the Jedi, you know, we can let you go. You can have a new lease of life, that type of thing. I don't know what you think, Jason, about Barriss Offee and where we're going to find out when this series starts, and then about the journey she's going to go on here.
Well, for me, this one's quite an interesting one. It's come up quite a few times when I've been having discussions with friends and that. Obviously, Barriss Offee was quite a character that sort of fell from grace in a big way, and obviously is very much linked to the characters of Ahsoka and Anakin. And it's one of the things that obviously a lot of people have picked up on is, you know, this final image where we see her being introduced to her new master, who is obviously Vader. But the thing is, obviously, Vader was Anakin Skywalker, and Barriss Offee was the one that caused Ahsoka Tano to leave the Jedi Order. So obviously there's a history there that, you know, it makes you wonder, how would that be approached? Which, yeah, intrigues me. I don't think we're actually going to see much of that in this series, but who knows? You know, we're clearly going to see Barriss Offee after she's been released from whatever prison or wherever she was, and taken in by the Grand Inquisitor. Which, you know, the whole thing, and I'm really pleased to see Jason Isaacs back as the Grand Inquisitor, because for me, I really felt he should have done that role in Obi-Wan, and I think he's perfect for it. And, you know, that's just my personal thing with that character. But seeing him training her to become an Inquisitor, I think that really excites me, seeing that side of it, starting to understand a bit more of the Inquisitors, which is obviously seems to be something that Disney are pushing quite a lot at the moment, because I see there's also a comic book series coming out that looks at the Inquisitors as well. So, you know, obviously it's something I think the fans enjoyed. Obviously what we saw in Obi-Wan was very intriguing. What we've seen, obviously in Rebels with the Inquisitors, for me was great. So I think this is maybe another part of that puzzle that's bringing the fans, you know, more information on who these, I'd say corrupted Jedis or fallen Jedis who have become a tool of the Empire, or in particular Vader. So I think this one could be quite an interesting story, and especially as it is Barriss Offee and her relationship with Anakin, I think that's going to be quite an interesting one to see.
Yeah, because I think in the trailer set was, you know, like she obviously goes through hell, you know, to become an Inquisitor. You know, it looks like she gets released from jail, but it looks like she's gone from one jail to another. It seems like, you know, where, you know, she's going to be told what to do by the Grand Inquisitor, and the other Inquisitors are going to bully her and, you know, feed her dark side temptations to turn her properly. You know, and then at the very end of all, going through all of that, she's then going to come face to face with Darth Vader, where, you know, if she realizes or learns that that is Anakin Skywalker, you know, it's Anakin and Ahsoka who essentially led to her arrest and her downfall and her attempts in the Clone Wars. Now, on the flip side, again, if Vader sees that's Barriss Offee and he chooses to get emotional about it, you know, potentially Vader might not be Vader if Barriss hadn't done what she did, if that makes sense. You know, if Ahsoka hadn't left the Jedi Order, things could be different. So looks like it's going to be one hell of a journey for her. But then, you know, and then the end's going to be like hell all over again, depending on how they decide to do it, which could be very cool. So yeah, you know, that's really, really, really going to be in depth. I don't know what your thoughts are, Chris, on sort of on Barriss and Anakin and Vader, and obviously I know you've watched some Clone Wars and not all of Clone Wars, but sort of what's your process on taking sort of a character who, you know, a young character as well, who we met in the Clone Wars as a young character, who was very much a good person, you know, and best friend of Ahsoka and the Jedi Order, and, you know, who we see sort of, you know, probably for the right, does the wrong thing for the right reasons, you know, when she causes the trouble in the Clone Wars, and, you know, it leads to a whole lot of trouble for the Star Wars galaxy, I suppose.
I mean, as you say, I'm not as familiar with her story, but I know obviously the main beats and you know, when she tries to blow up the Jedi Temple and everything that leads to. I think it's going to be interesting to explore, though, because, like I said, I think the one thing that Tales of a Jedi did really well was, you know, focusing on those two characters, Ahsoka and Count Dooku, and really fill in a lot of their backstory that in some cases maybe we didn't know that we needed. But there's also everything surrounding it, like, you know, I mentioned about Yaddle and so on. That's, you know, was something that was just kind of, that wasn't the main part of the story, but it filled in a lot of questions for us. And I think as we go along, we're going to learn out a lot more about Barriss Offee's motivations, why she did what she did. There must be a lot of complex feelings moved up in this. And also, as you say, this leads into a much more complex scenario. If either person, either her or Vader, realize who the other person is, obviously Vader's got a much better chance of noticing who she is than she does of him. But we do know that some people in the galaxy have clocked who Vader is, such as Thrawn. So it's not out of the realms of possibility that she could, you know, eventually find out who Vader is. But if she does, I don't think she'll be long for this galaxy.
Yeah, obviously, you know, Thrawn knows who Vader is, and that it's hinted at in the talking book that Tarkin has put the pieces together and knows Vader's Anakin, but also never brings it up because he never sees it as, I don't need to bring it up. It's not like I know that information, but it's irrelevant. So yeah. And you know, who's to say, you know, if once Vader notices Barriss, does he just kill her? Does he just use her and send her on a suicide mission? Like, I just wonder how that goes down. You know, a lot of tempting theories. Something else you brought up, Jason, was obviously Inquisitors, you know, and, you know, they're getting a comic book coming out soon, which is going to be fantastic, you know, and they've been used quite a bit in storytelling in the Kenobi series, you know, in Ahsoka. And it was interesting to see some of the Inquisitors who are coming over from other mediums. So, you know, we see, you know, the Inquisitor from Kenobi. I forgot which one it is, but the sort of the female alien one. I noticed Marok from Ahsoka season one. It's sort of like a fallen Inquisitor, I suppose, the one who turns to dusty smoke when he gets killed. You know, Marok was there, I noticed. And then I also saw the Inquisitor who we see in Tales of the Jedi season one, who actually Ahsoka meets at that farm. So I don't know what your thoughts were, Jason, on the different Inquisitors we saw and sort of how we're going to see them here, maybe a different light to what we've seen them before.
Yeah, it was really intriguing because obviously seeing that we might actually see Marok as himself and not as, you know, what looked to be almost like a zombie Inquisitor in Ahsoka. So it could be quite interesting to see a bit of his backstory built in with the Barriss Offee story. And the Inquisitor that obviously appeared in Ahsoka's Tale of the Jedi's episode, who's voiced by the brilliant Clancy Brown, so who has appeared in, I think, so many of the different Star Wars different series now, and he's a brilliant voice actor. So whether he'll get much to do in this episode, whether, you know, who knows, but he was quite an interesting Inquisitor from that Tales of the Jedi episode. So obviously for them to bring him back and maybe see him, obviously these Inquisitors at this point are just being inducted almost as Inquisitors. So it'll be interesting to see whether they use that and how much of that's included in the episodes.
Indeed. And, you know, I think, you know, whether Barriss makes it out of this series or not, we don't know, I suppose. And does she make that as an Inquisitor or as something else? We don't know. But I know that, obviously, you know, the Inquisitors have appeared in quite a few comics, especially the Darth Vader comic. You know, we've seen them in Star Wars Rebels. We've seen them in the video games, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. And obviously she's not been depicted there yet, so it sort of does leave a bit of a gap if she was to become a fully-fledged Inquisitor. I don't know. Let's go to you, Chris, first. Wait, I suppose I'm going to put you on the hot seat. You know, you could be wrong, but just take a punt. Does Barriss stay and become an Inquisitor? Does she leave and see sense, or does she die at the hands of Vader?
I think one of two things is going to happen. Well, obviously, because you just said one of two things, but I think it's either going to be that this is where Dave Filoni is going to finish a story, and this is going to be putting a nice bow on that. And I think that's probably the more likely thing, or it is maybe, for want of the better term, reintroducing the character a bit because she or her legacy is going to feature somehow in some upcoming projects that are coming up. Potentially, you know, could we see her crop up in Ahsoka season two? Could that be something that we'll see? I would, if I've got to choose one side of the fence, I would say she's not making it out of the series, but as we've just seen with certain characters in The Bad Batch, just because you don't make it out of something doesn't mean you can't make it back later on.
Indeed. Same question to you, Jason, I suppose. You know, do you think Barriss Offee is going to, you know, become a fully-fledged Inquisitor here? Do you think Barriss Offee is going to die at the hands of Vader? Or do you think Barriss Offee is going to see sense and escape?
I've got a feeling it could be that she's going to die, but it's so hard to tell. And the thing is, there's so many paths that this could take that until we see it on the screen, we'll never really know. Yeah, I think possibly she's going to die. If not, then it'll be I think it'll be that she becomes a full-blown Inquisitor, and I think that could then open up the possibility of her appearing somewhere else. So to use a character like Barriss Offee for something like this, I think they could be opening the door for something.
My thoughts is this, obviously, you know, Star Wars is very much poetry, you know, but it tends to rhyme quite a bit and be quite similar, especially, you know, we've had three trilogies, you know, I think the themes in each part of the trilogy sort of match, you know, darker middle chapter, that type of thing. You know, beat for beat, you know, I think if you look at A New Hope, Phantom Menace, and then Force Awakens, you know, quite similar in story beats, you know, the start of each trilogy, for example. Themes very similar. You know, I think if you look at Tales of the Jedi Season 1, you have very much Count Dooku, who's one focus. Half the focus is on Count Dooku, and he's a doomed character. Okay, we're going to see that person become bad. Okay? And then we see Ahsoka, who, you know, stays on the good side. And then here in this season, Tales of the Empire, you know, I think we're going to see Morgan Elsbeth, who, you know, obviously is a Night Sister. All those good or bad, you know, it's hard to say, but, you know, they're fighting a war against the Separatists at the beginning of her story. So I would say they're probably good guys and they get massacred. And then she's going to end up sort of turning to the Empire for help, for assistance. You know, she's going to become, you know, she's going to join the court of Thrawn, for lack of a better term. You know, she's going to become an ally of Thrawn based on her circumstance. So is she going to be the character who turns bad and stays bad? As we see, you know, she is bad all the way through to her demise in Ahsoka. And then that leaves Barriss Offee, who, you know, as we've seen, is a good character who's made some mistakes, done some questionable things. But here, when it's down to, like, are you going to turn to the dark side and become an Inquisitor? Does she, you know, is there hope here? Does she see the light? Does she finally say, no, I'm not going to do that? And, you know, whether that means she dies or whether that means she escapes, I don't know. But I've got a feeling we're going to see Barriss Offee at the very end sort of reject the dark side and choose light. So that Luke Skywalker at Return of the Jedi, when he turns his lightsaber off and throws it away. You know, similar to what we see, you know, Rey go through, you know, refusing to join our grandfather, you know, and stay on the good side of the Force. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, Chris. If you think that's any sense now, or you think I'm talking absolutely out my bum?
No, I think, like you say, it's all poetry and it rhymes, as somebody once said, and that would rhyme very much alongside with the first season in terms of you had one Jedi, Ahsoka, who stayed very much on the light side, and you had one Jedi, Count Dooku, who fell to the dark side. So will we see, I don't know what the opposite of who rises to the light side? I've never heard that before, but will we see, you know, it's definitely not going to be Morgan Elsbeth, so will Barriss Offee return to the light side? But, I mean, if she does, as I said before, her days are numbered.
They are indeed. I think just diving into the series, I suppose, let's go to you first, Jason. Is there any people that you saw, any spaceships or locations or any items or fields that you saw in the trailer that you can't wait to see more of? And is there anything that, like, harkened you back to, like, pure Star Wars feeling?
I think, obviously, as I've said already, seeing the extra Inquisitors and how they're going to fit into the story. I think seeing the Grand Inquisitor back in his animated form, being the master manipulator, I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the action, so to speak. Obviously, Thrawn, seeing where he is at this point, he's become a character he's always been very popular, but I think the resurgence with the six books that obviously Timothy Zahn's done, then bringing him into Rebels, and then bringing him into the Ahsoka series, and obviously, you know, it's pretty certain it looks like, well, we know we're going to get a second season of Ahsoka, which is obviously going to go more into what's harkening on there. And then there's obviously been talk that Thrawn is going to be in some of the films later on. So I think he's a character that the more we can get to his backstory, the better. And yeah, obviously Barriss Offee, it's seeing her is going to be great. Just to see where she's gone to and where she's going to end up to. The ships, I didn't really notice. I was probably being pretty lazy with that. I was looking more at the characters than looking at the ships. But obviously, anything Imperial, there's normally some good, exciting stuff. Obviously, seeing General Grievous again, voiced by Matt Wood. I'm looking forward to that because he's a favourite character, and having met Matt, who's a really interesting guy, and obviously is heavily involved with Skywalker Sound. It's going to be interesting to see him back in action doing that magical voice, and obviously seeing Grievous face off against Morgan Elsbeth. I have to admit that that just gave me chills watching her with those blades, him with his lightsabers. And it looked like, from all of the different shots that we saw, it looked like this animated series is really going to town with the lightsaber battles. So that's something that I'm definitely looking forward to.
No, it certainly will be. And when he saw the Grand Inquisitor pick, you know, pick that green lightsaber out of the pile of lightsabers, you know, when he give it to Barriss to attack him with, you know, I couldn't tell if that was like actually Barriss's lightsaber or someone else's, but it'll be interesting to pay attention to see what details are on those hilts there, and, you know, who did they belong to back in the day of the Jedi. So yeah, it's gonna be very, very interesting. Chris, obviously, you know, we've watched a trailer. Just again, any unique bits you want to deep dive on that really caught your eye and that really got you excited?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, just to echo what Jason just said, I mean, for me, anytime Thrawn shows up, I mean, I might put out there that maybe in the future, maybe they'll do a Thrawn origin series, maybe a Tales of the Chiss. That will be the next one. I think anytime we get to find out a bit more about that and actually see a little bit more of what Thrawn was and what led him to become where he is. Seeing him when he's younger, it's always going to be interesting, and seeing how that relationship with Morgan Elsbeth is going to weave through to what I'll call the present day, i.e. the Ahsoka TV series being sort of the latest in the timeline where we are before we get to the sequel films. I think it was cool to see the return of the B1 battle droids as well. I think, obviously, they're not going to last very long. We can see them getting chopped down left, right, and center, but I've got a soft spot for those battle droids. We also see, am I right in saying that it is the fourth sister? For what, the one who's got the kind of snaky dreadlocks to her
head. I think you're right. Obviously, she was from the Obi-Wan series, wasn't she?
Yeah. And we did, she was quite just a bit of a background character, I think, wasn't she? She didn't get much time.
Yeah.
But yes,
you are right. It is the fourth sister, formerly known as Lynn.
That's not a very scary original name.
Lynn!
I'm not buying a mini Metro.
Yeah, L-Y-N. I heard that the fourth sister was paid £9,500 a year.
It's £9,500.
Indeed. Bit of Alan Partridge for everyone there, for anyone who doesn't know.
But yeah, I'm just really, I think it's going to be seeing that relationship between Thrawn and Morgan Elsbeth. But now I've said that, you know, but Thrawn's going to be in it for 2 minutes and the rest of it's not going to be anything to do with it. But anytime you see Thrawn on screen, he just captivates everything. And I think we're deep in Thrawn season at the moment after having, you know, his first live action appearance last year. He's back in the actual Star Wars galaxy now. One thing I did want to point out, though, in the trailer is when Darth Vader's introduced, we see the shot of, you know, the four Inquisitors, the fourth sister, and then, well, assuming she's at least an apprentice at this time, Barriss Offee, then you've got Marok and the Inquisitor who we saw in the Tales of the Jedi series. It is Barriss Offee who takes the knee first out of all of them.
Very, very interesting. Do you think we could see a Barriss maybe doing a sort of what the third sister does in the Kenobi series, you know, like maybe this is all her just going along with this so she can get face to face with Vader and take him out. Who knows?
Maybe, but I mean, that didn't work out very well for her, did it?
No, it didn't. She...
No.
Well, we know that Vader survives and goes on to
yes.
carnage. As we go on. Am I the only one who picked up on those emblems on the people's tunics when the people who visit Morgan Elsbeth in her village?
Yeah, they definitely seem New Republic.
I can't remember if that's like it might be the Resistance emblems. I'm sure it's the Resistance emblems. I'm trying to, which means the Resistance got on that planet asking questions or asking about something. Obviously, she's probably playing dumb because she's probably not want to give away that she's secretly working for Thrawn, waiting for Thrawn to come back or whatever.
But I might be mistaken here, but in that moment, you've got the alien creature at the front, and then you've got all of the guards with the traditional 1970s head dresses on, helmets on. But then there's the Asian gentleman was he not in the episode of The Mandalorian with Morgan Elsbeth?
I can't remember. I have to go back and rewatch. I think Jason, can you remember any of that?
No, I have to admit, because it's like the character that they showed up on the roof. I was wondering if that was the Michael Biehn character from the Ahsoka episode. So I'm wondering, because to me it looked like it was all tying up to that episode. So yeah, it could be. Which obviously then would fit in, not so much it'd be Resistance, it'd be New Republic, wouldn't it? That would be asking the questions.
Yeah, I just feel that, like, I remember during The Force Awakens, is like when you see Hosnian Prime blow up, there's someone there with like a Resistance logo on, it's the same badge, that's like similar, I mean, it's slightly different, but it's the same that Poe Dameron has on his jacket, I think. But I'm trying to find an image now, but I can't find it. But I mean, either way, it's going to be interesting to see if we see, you know, Morgan Elsbeth's story is going to intertwine from the Clone Wars to the times of the New Republic. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how she interacts with these different types of government and sort of the change in times in the galaxy. And going on from that, you know, obviously, you know, we've talked about what we're sort of excited about for season 2 of Tales of the Jedi, which is called Tales of the Empire. But I just want to go to you first, Chris. Just what was some of your, like, in maybe a bit more detail now, just like your favorite deep dives from Tales of the Jedi, and like, and the reason why you're so excited at the possibilities of getting more of the same.
Sure. Just before I do that, though, I just quickly scanned through the episode of The Mandalorian, season 2, episode 5, where Morgan Elsbeth is first introduced. And I do believe that is the same guy in the trailer. So if just from your memory, if you remember, Mandalorian approaches a gentleman in a back street and tries to get information from him, and it looks like he wants to help him, and then guards arrive and he quickly peels off down a back street. So I do think that's the same character from it seems to have quite a detailed model, so I think it's him. But anyway, moving on. I think my favorite deep dive, I mean, I loved the Justice episode, because we got to see the interaction between Qui-Gon and Count Dooku, and that was, I thought it was just so special. It was great. I mean, was this before Kenobi, or was this just after Kenobi? It was just after Kenobi, wasn't it? because Kenobi came out in May, and this was in October.
Yeah.
It was just great to see Qui-Gon Jinn back on screen again, but that, you know, a younger version, I believe, voiced by Liam Neeson's son.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which I thought was a really nice little touch. And I thought whoever was doing Christopher Lee was doing a really great job in there, doing that old classic, you know, almost Dracula-esque Christopher Lee. I think that was the stuff that I really, really liked. And then later on, when we saw in the next episode, the sort of strained interaction between former master and pupil, it was clear that they were already going in separate ways, and Dooku was very much aware that he was going down a very different path to the one that Qui-Gon was going down. So I really enjoyed that, but also, of course, getting to see Ahsoka, you know, where did she come from? Where did she go? And then getting to see, you know, Plo Koon, of course, being Dave Filoni's favorite character. Of course, he was the one to discover Ahsoka. And I thought that it did a lot for me personally, this series, as somebody who wasn't as intimate with the Clone Wars, in setting the stage for the Ahsoka TV show, which is why I kind of say maybe I could see something. I don't see a Barriss Offee TV show, but I could see her being a character in something in the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, you know, I think some of the takeaways were in the Ahsoka storyline, I thought was, you know, when we see Anakin putting her through our paces, he's like, again, and she's taking all the troopers at once, and they keep, the eventually, every time she keeps getting stunned eventually until the very end, she sort of survives it. But then that has a direct tie into the Clone Wars final season, when that train is what actually allows her to escape Order 66. Mm-hmm. So I loved how that tied in perfectly. That, and it was like, you know, Anakin's tough love, really caring about that, and his determination to get to do the training. Yes, might seem harsh in the moment, but when you see actually what that allows her to be able to do, and then go on from there to sort of meet Luke Skywalker, you know, train Sabine, do the things she does in the Ahsoka series, you know, I think that was really, really powerful but simple storytelling. Mm-hmm. Obviously, as you mentioned, the Qui-Gon Jinn thing was, you know, really cool to see Qui-Gon Jinn. And what I picked on was the fact that, like, Dooku could see that Qui-Gon Jinn was going down his own path. And I loved how Dooku didn't sort of try to control Qui-Gon Jinn. Like, he gave him his honest advice and was honest with him. But, you know, he's very much like you go down your path and I'll go down mine type of thing. Which I thought was really admirable of him. And I think also the way Qui-Gon can almost see the path Dooku's going down. You know, when Qui-Gon frees the leader's son and says, go save your father, you know, he means that, and he knows that's probably the only way he's going to stop to de-escalate this situation. And again, he doesn't really question his master on it. You know, they very much have a very strong respect for each other, which I thought was really cool. And then the other thing I loved was Padme's funeral, the fact that Ahsoka went to Padme's funeral. You know, what happened there? Did she go there hoping that if Anakin was alive, he would be there? That's why I think that happened. I think Ahsoka goes to Padme's funeral, A, to say goodbye to her friend Padme, but also I think she knows that if Anakin is alive, that's where he will be. And obviously he's not there because he's technically not alive, because he's Darth Vader, I suppose, but obviously she doesn't know that yet. Jason, what are some of your favorite takeaways from Tales of the Jedi season one? And obviously just, you know, what are you hoping to see more of come the second season?
Yeah, obviously, the first episode in itself with, where we see baby Ahsoka, for me, that's a truly beautiful episode in the way that it's done, showing us the sort of culture that she comes from, seeing the love of her mother, and then seeing her with her sort of force intuition, and the way she then manages to sort of tame this wild animal. And also, you know, the scene where her mother's there showing her, you know, she's just killed the deer type creature, and she says, don't be afraid of death, look at it. That to me, that was really powerful sort of stuff, but you know, put into an animated series, Which it's funny, I've heard someone say, oh, the Tales of the Jedi and that are for kids, but I watched the episodes and I thought, these aren't kids' stories. This is very, they've got a bit of meaning to them, but they're not kids' stories. So that whole episode for me was something quite special. I suppose also being a parent and seeing the parental side of it was quite interesting. And also, coming up from a countryside lifestyle where, these days I know hunting isn't necessarily looked upon in the greatest favour, but obviously I've seen it in the past. It's something that in that sort of culture, it was their way of surviving. Then obviously, seeing the bits with Dooku, I thought the first two episodes with him, the first one with the young Qui-Gon, and then second one with Mace, two very, very different sort of Jedi. And their way of dealing with Dooku ended up almost a little bit similar, but it was quite interesting seeing those two characters interacting with a younger version of Dooku. And then obviously the final episode where we see him become the Sith apprentice, and obviously the demise of Yaddle, which I thought she was brilliantly voiced by Bryce Dallas Howard. And that brought a bit of gravitas to that character, but also the return of Liam Neeson, and that sequence where they're talking about young Obi-Wan, and Dooku goes, "I'd like to meet him one day," and I thought, "Oh, that's a real precursor to a certain film that we know will happen." Yeah, those parts of the stories were really special. And obviously, again, like the middle episode for Ahsoka, where she was training with Anakin and the clones. And as you say, the fact that that training is what saved her in the long run was quite special. And anything where we get to see Rex back in action, although obviously he was sort of overseeing. But it was quite. It was good to see his protectiveness towards Ahsoka. Probably he was a little bit more protective, whereas Anakin was, he was being protective, but he was doing it his way, and he knew he had to educate her for what she might have to face one day. So I think all of these tales sort of had some really special extra bits to add to those characters. That's the sort of thing that for me, Filoni's great at delivering these little tidbits as he goes along. And I'm hoping, Tales of the Empire won't be the last, and I'm hoping there'll be more of these animated shorts.
Definitely. I think something you said there about Yaddle, something that I forgot to maybe see when I was talking about was that I love how softly spoken and caring Yaddle comes across as a character. We don't really see her speak in Phantom Menace, but Yaddle, she's not just about finding out about Dooku and the Sith and like wanting to solve the mystery and like take them down. She's very much there to like, she's worried about Count Dooku and wants to help him. And even till the very end, she's very much there trying to understand him and, and help them where she can, which I thought was really, really powerful stuff. Again, sort of everything what a Jedi should be, you could see it in Yaddle there. But yeah, I think that brings an end to sort of us talking about Tales of the Jedi season one. I suppose we'll go to you, Chris. Is there anything that you want to bring up about Tales of the Jedi season two, which is of course called Tales of the Empire, that starts on May the 4th, all released on the same day on Disney Plus, will be able to stream. Just obviously your excitements, what you're hoping for, and just whether you're going to binge it all in one go, or are you going to wait for that Metro to be delayed?
Well, I don't take a metro anymore, so I'm now working from home. So I will have to try and binge it on my lunch breaks. I think I will. I'll get a chance. I'll get a chance to watch, but I want to watch it quickly because I want to jump on here and talk about it with you guys. So that gives me a good fire that's lit underneath me. But I will. I'll try and watch it. I might space it out a little bit, but I'll be happy to consume it because I want to see what's happening here. You know, Tales of the Jedi. It was a bit of a dark horse. I just thought, yeah, I'll pop it on. Yeah, sure, a bit more Star Wars. And then I ended up loving it, but I had no expectations. Whereas this, I've got some big expectations for. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready for it. Bring on May the 4th.
So May the 4th is a Saturday. So if you were to watch all of the episodes between that Saturday and the following Thursday, which is when is your sweet spot to record, it seems like. That gives you not loads of time, but it gives you almost 5 days to watch it at least once.
That's a good time frame. I think I can do that.
That sounds pretty cool. I think that sounds like a plan. That sounds like the Force is working.
sounds like I've got to write a date in the diary.
It does. So, I mean, let's go over to you, Jason. I think before we dive into the diary date, I think obviously just, you know, I think we've talked about Tales of the Jedi and everything we loved about it from the first season. Obviously, we know we're getting season 2 on May the 4th, which is called Tales of the Empire. Obviously, all 6 episodes will stream on Disney Plus on May the 4th, which is a Saturday. So just what are your thoughts and excitement levels like for the coming season? And then obviously, yeah, are you planning on watching it all at once straight away? And are you going to be free to record that Thursday afterwards?
Oh, I'll be binge watching that day. Saturday's a good day for me. It's not my weekend to have the kids. So I'll probably be sat in front of the TV almost as soon as it drops on Disney Plus. And yeah, definitely Thursday's normally good for me. So I will be there ready to discuss it and dive deep, deep, deep into the darkness of the Empire.
Indeed, it's going to be absolutely wonderful. I think what I'm excited about is, you know, I'm excited to see Thrawn in this Clone Wars animation. You know, I think that opening shot of the trailer where it's the 3 Star Destroyers in the sort of the dusk, sullen sky, and Thrawn's there speaking to her, was pretty awesome looking. So I'm excited to see Thrawn. I'm excited to see just the timeline jumps and just Morgan Elsworth's journey from, you know, Clone Wars veteran to Thrawn's right hand to, you know, being this woman left in the galaxy when Thrawn vanishes, to obviously her being Thrawn's savior in the very end there in the Ahsoka series is going to be very cool. And then, as I said with Barriss, you know, I'm very tied into this Barriss and Ahsoka and Anakin and how those three connect so much in Star Wars and in the Force. And just like I said, I can only see it going one way where I think she's going to see the light side, hopefully. And then does she get out or does she get destroyed at the hands of Anakin Skywalker / Darth Vader? Who knows? We'll find out. But I'm very excited. And I'm very excited, as I've mentioned a few times, to see how those people with the Resistance / New Republic emblems on their uniforms match in with what's going on in the galaxy when they go to Morgan Elsworth's village. But yes, very, very exciting times. But I think that brings an end to our discussion. Jason, where can the lovely people find you on social media?
At Hondo Ling, as always.
Indeed, indeed. And Chris, obviously, you're obviously helping us out a lot at Star Wars at the moment, but obviously your primary podcast duties is over at Dystopian Simulation Radio. So where can the people find that and what exactly is it? I suppose I know, but the listeners might not.
Well, if you don't know, it is a little bit more down to earth, but it's still up there in the stars. It's about all of the tales of the unusual, the unexplained, and the unknown. It's a bit like the X-Files, but much less organized. It's very much, we've got our tongues in our cheek. We want to believe, but the evidence is not really making us believe very much. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the good places by searching for Dystopian Simulation Radio. And if you want to head over to our Instagram, you can find us at d.s.radio, and we'd love to see you there.
Indeed, indeed. And you can find myself on Twitter, or X is now known, and on Instagram at Geordie Jedi Pete. You can find the podcast on X at Boz Star. You can also find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and LinkedIn at Star Wars Podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please just leave us a top review. You know, 5 stars and every little sentence makes us all smile all day. Only takes you a few moments and it helps people find the show. It's a nice free way of supporting us. And again, if you're listening on any of the other wild and wonderful podcast platforms, there's a lot of them out there now, all of them awesome and allow us to reach many ears, which is fantastic. But again, if those have a option to leave a review, just leave us a top review. Again, 5 stars and a nice little sentence leaves us smiling all day. Only takes you a few moments. Great way for you to support the show, and it helps other people find us. And if you are doing that and leaving good reviews, make sure you're screenshotting those and tagging us in them and on social media. You know, you never know, you might get sent a little free pin badge, something like that. But you know, we'll certainly interact with you and thank you for that. But that is the end of the episode. As I said, Tales of the Empire is coming to Disney Plus on May the 4th. All 6 episodes are able to stream. So if you haven't got Disney Plus, I recommend you get it. Ready for that. It's going to be a wild May the 4th. You know, not only do we have all of Tales of the Jedi releasing, but obviously there's a lot of Lego being available and free gifts. I think Disney.com. When I say Disney.com, I mean DisneyStore.com. Certainly in the UK, I've got a lot of merch dropping on that day. So it's going to be a busy day for all of us Star Wars fans. But gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. Listeners, thank you very much for listening. May the Force be with you all. And remember, always tell that to Kanja Club.
The Dorky Diva Show presents...
Why is this seat so much more comfortable?
The long-awaited sequel to the adventures of the Zolan Dart audio drama.
Have you seen the captain's datapad?
Trying to work, Murph.
Piloting the Zolan Dart by himself.
You do understand the details of this particular job, correct?
I've been on plenty of jobs like this. With you!
Reldar Saias returns to a planet he thought he'd left behind for good.
Is there a reason you didn't mention I was tagging along?
Hopefully having you there will make others think twice about messing with me.
Making new friends.
Oh, you must be the pilot of the Zolan Dart, yes?
I guess I am.
And reconnecting with old ones.
Reldar?
Vera?
What are you doing here?
Until past grudges resurface.
I'd be minding my own business if I were you.
Well, if your business wasn't being handled right in front of my face, maybe I could mind my own business. We have to leave. Now.
Why the rush all of a sudden?
We're in trouble.
If it isn't little Reldar Saias.
Hey, Yorick. Long time no see.
Roz already knows you're here.
Oh.
Look who decided to come home.
Reldar must confront his origin.
I must admit, I never saw this as being a part of your past, Softshell.
Or let it define his future.
I will get what is owed to me, no matter the cost.
Because what Roz is trying to do is wrong.
Says you!
My blasters. We're going to need these. Take that, Slimo!
Who do you think you are?!
The Adventures of the Zolan Dart, Episode 2, coming soon.